This land of Canada needs churches and Christians that are on fire. Witnesses for Jesus in a lost, ungodly nation. And as we complain about a nation that is plummeting into immorality, we need to say, this is the time the church needs to pray. And pray for Christians to be living witnesses within the world. One more type of saint, and that is the saints in your own church.
Today's message is about one of the greatest privileges that the Christian can ever enjoy, and that is communion with God. We have a perfect mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have standing in grace. We have an entrance into heaven by trusting through the blood of Jesus in the mercy of God to hear our cries. The Bible says that the Lord's ear is not heavy, nor is his arm shortened. So he is a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. He has total interest in every one of us, and he has mighty power to answer the cries and the needs of our lives. And so I want to invite you to join with us through this program as we consider the burden and the ministry that every Christian ought to have in prayer for our homes, our families, our country, and our churches. Let us give ourselves to prayer. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, and I'm glad that you're here, and I hope that you will always be a regular listener of our programming. We're on the air at this time to bring you the message of God's Word in a pastoral way. It's not just about throwing out information. It is about reaching men and women, young people, with the glorious message of Christianity, of Christ himself. And, of course, of introducing you to the living Lord Jesus. We have celebrated Easter. We have rejoiced in the empty tomb that Christ is alive. And, of course, that means he's coming again. And he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You want to know what is the essence of Christianity. It is the living Lord Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And my prayer is that you will personally know and experience the Lord Jesus living in your heart. Without that, you're not a Christian. Without that, you were never born again. Without that, you have no personal experience of the power of the gospel. And so today, call on the Lord. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And we are going to learn about this ministry of prayer. And every Christian needs a prayer ministry. Every Christian needs a life of real living communion with God, whereby faith we can lay hold on God, take him at his word, plead his promises, and seek his face. Stay tuned now as we go to our pulpit ministry.
We give up sometimes when it comes to pray. We might begin a little, find it so difficult, almost frustrating, and then we give up. And that's why it says here, watching, watching thereunto with all prayer. Watching means to be on guard, on guard. Don't give up. There's a diligence required. And no doubt the devil hates you to pray. Your own carnal nature will hate to pray. And we need to overcome obstacles in our prayer life. Prayer, of course, is the place to deal with the Christian's problems. It's the troubleshooting department. And we go to prayer with our needs and our hearts and our lives, but people can get upset. I feel uncomfortable. I feel out of my comfort zone. I just don't want to be here. Now, there can be all kinds of reasons for that. It is a dangerous thing for a new Christian to think that once I become a Christian, that all my difficulties just roll away. That's not what Ephesians 6 tells us. There's a real devil, an enemy. There's an armor to put on. There's a battle to fight. And this weapon, this means of all prayer, is given to help us overcome. And so you've got to learn that your Christian life is a warfare. And if it's a warfare, it's not going to be easy. You must engage with diligence and pray for the victory. All perseverance means that you will resist the temptation to give up. You might say, well, it doesn't work for me. God's not answering my prayers. God's not answering my cries. To persevere means to keep on keeping on. How do you keep on? Well, again, through the help of the Holy Spirit. The wonderful thing about being a Christian is that you want to do what your old nature never wanted to do. You want to do what your old heart despised and hated. You know that text? All things have become new, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And now there is a delight and a desire and a joy to be found in overcoming in the place of prayer. And so we learn to keep praying through. And that's a very important attitude. Keep on praying until you pray through. Now, what does that mean? Praying through. It's like there's a barrier. It's like there's a ceiling and your prayers don't get any higher. And there are times when you will get on your knees and you will pray and it feels that your prayer got nowhere. But there are other times when you pray and you know that God has brought such joy and peace to your heart that that prayer is registered with God, and that prayer leads you on to victory ground. Now, for that we pray, Lord, thy will be done. We pray, undertake for me. Or as we read in the Psalm 80, and I want to read this with you. Turn this with me. Let me just not read it to you. Turn to the Psalm 80 and the verse 14. Let me give you a second just to turn that up. Psalm 80 Let's start at verse 1, firstly. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. That's prayer. That's asking. Give ear, O God. And then in verse 14, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. There is perseverance. Return. It's as if God has disappeared. It's as if God has been at a distance and asking God to return. That's perseverance. And the Lord promises that if you return unto him, he will return unto you. That's the victory the Lord promises to your heart. In that spirit of perseverance, prayer is called waiting upon God. Waiting upon God. You just don't rush into his presence and rush out again. You wait until he visits. If you go to a doctor's office, you wait. If you go in a hospital, the ER, you wait. You wait for hours. If you go on a trip traveling by air, you go to an airport and you wait. When we come into God's presence, we must wait on him with expectation that he will visit. Right, so that's the two alls, all prayer, all perseverance. Now we come lastly to all saints, all saints. That's the target of prayer. Who are we praying for? All saints. Whether it's the new saint, the new convert. And of course that new Christian needs our prayers as a church. Someone who has just trusted the Savior, who has asked the Lord to change his or her life. We as a church ought to be praying for that new convert. We would be failing as a church if we do not come alongside and pray for that new convert, that they be kept and strengthened, fed and nurtured in the things of God. We also pray for the successful Christian. Now I think of their success in the world. The businessman or woman, the person who's got that new job, and of course it leads them into higher levels of opportunity, but also higher levels of temptation. All saints, we need to pray for that, what we're calling successful Christian, who has been elevated in the world. But they also need our prayers to be kept in the world and delivered from evil. Then there's the tested and tried saint. The saint that has been scarred by the battles of the world. They become timid, fearful, ineffective. We need to pray for the tried saint. That's the one that needs our prayers. Then also there's the experienced soldier saint who is all too aware of the dangers that are around in the battle. The church must pray for those who are in danger. Then there are the elderly. The elderly are not beyond temptations and struggles. When the body is weak and the mind may be weak, then that Christian who for years lived for God needs the prayers of the church and the Christian. That elderly saint who daily battles against weakness and fears of many kinds needs the power of the Spirit in his or her heart to live and be a testimony for Christ to the end. Then there is the whole church, the saints at large, God's people in the nation. This land of Canada needs churches and Christians that are on fire, witnesses for Jesus in a lost, ungodly nation. And as we complain about a nation that is plummeting into immorality, we need to say, this is the time the church needs to pray. And pray for Christians to be living witnesses within the world. One more type of saint, and that is the saints in your own church. The Christian that's sitting right beside you this morning, the Christian that's sitting right behind you or in front of you, you saw that brother or sister take the hymn book and sing. You see them take the Bible and read and follow along in the sermon. But tomorrow morning, that Christian will be out in the world and facing every kind of evil. Are you praying for your fellow brothers and sisters in the church? Are you taking this weapon of all prayer with all perseverance for all saints? And it starts right in our own little church for our own people who have their own needs. And yes, of course, we pray for our missionaries and for the greater work of the church around the world. But it starts with one another. And the Bible is very insistent about praying one for another, bearing one another's burdens. And that's where the prayer ministry becomes so vital and so important. So we have all prayer, all perseverance for all saints. But I want to talk for a moment to anyone here today who doesn't pray. You don't really pray. What has the Bible to say to you who are prayerless? Well, the Bible tells us that if you are prayerless, you are graceless. And if you're graceless, you're hopeless. You're lost. You see, the Bible gives us the great example of the Apostle Paul, who before was Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church. He was madly seeking the destruction of Christians when God saved him suddenly on the Damascus Road, brought him right to the ground, converted his soul. And what do we next find about Saul of Tarsus? God said to Ananias, go and find him. You'll find him in the house praying. Praying. And you look at Acts 9, you'll read the story. Here's this new convert, and he's praying. That's what happens when you're converted. And if you're living prayerless and you think you're a Christian, no. If you're living without a thought of God and without asking for his blessing upon you each day and that you're a Christian, no, you're not a Christian. You're not right with God. You have no communion with God. You have no Christianity in your heart. Oh, you might have a heritage of it. You might have some attachment to it. You might have some convictions that agree with it. But you've never been born again. Your heart is dead, cold, worldly. You're lost. And so the question is, do you pray? And your answer to that question will determine whether you've got new life or whether you are yet dead in your sins. This is how you're saved, by prayer. What does God say to get right with God? Take with you words and call upon the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we are saved by prayer. You can't become a Christian without prayer. You can't be converted. You can't have God's salvation unless you call on Him to save you. And that is how you become a Christian. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. That's one place in the book of Hosea. Take with you words. Let me ask you, would you pray the sinner's prayer today? I want to challenge you personally. Would you pray and ask the Lord to save your soul? Maybe you have done so. Will you today ask Him, Lord, I'm calling upon You to save my soul, to make me a Christian? If you say, no, I won't do that, then the game's over. You are not even seeking salvation. You're not even attempting to put your soul right with God. There may be no gospel at all for you, but you are invited to come. Come unto me, Jesus said. Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Or as the last invitation in the Bible tells us, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Let him that whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And so the invitation is yours, but you must call, ask, seek, knock, and it shall be given unto you. I pray today that the Lord in grace will make you a man or woman of prayer. What about our prayer meetings of the church this week? Will you come? Or have you already made up your mind? No. I know it's a battle. I know it's a challenge. But it's Ephesians 6:18. And if you memorize that text, God will use it in your life. He'll begin to work in you a new work, a good work, and make you a man or woman of prayer. What a strength and blessing that will be to the whole church of the Lord Jesus. If you're not saved today and you want to make that prayer, we'll call it the sinner's prayer for salvation. Would you speak to me after the service today? We can open the Bible, pray together, and may God save your soul.
Well, I thank you for joining with us again here on the station, and I trust that you have been blessed through the Word. Yesterday we had a little closing moment on the need for publication of Bibles, and we wanted to commend the Trinitarian Bible Society. This is really a conservative, fundamental, God-honoring organization. It is not only an organization that is seeking to get out the text of the Bible, but seeking to promote the Christ of the Bible. And here in their quarterly journal, they are saying, we see the beauty of our Savior. Why is He so beautiful? Because of who He is, because of what He has accomplished. And we who behold Christ in His glory are ourselves changed into the same image by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul did not say the Spirit of God or simply the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of the Lord. Why did he put it that way? To emphasize that the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of these people is to bring about a Christ-likeness. And the article goes on to exhort that as evangelicals, we must not lose this beauty, this glory of the Lord Jesus. And of course, it is a Bible well studied and a Bible well preached that will exalt the Lord Jesus. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And that is the calling of every true pastor and preacher. Our people must know the Lord Jesus personally, one-to-one. It is a relationship, not just a membership in a local church. It is to know and to make known the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. And I hope that you know, truly know the Lord Jesus. If I was to ask you of an individual here in Canada, do you know that person? Well, you may know their name, you may know their address, but you must have a personal encounter with that person, and you must walk where they walk if you can really say that you know them. And so we are invited to know the Lord Jesus. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so I invite you today to this life of personal fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus. Without that, it is an empty, shallow shell. But there is a fullness of life, a sweetness that comes into the heart of the Christian by living, walking, talking, praising, praying, breathing the very love of Jesus within our souls. And we need to each pursue that. That's my prayer for you today as we come to a close of this program. And I hope that you'll stay tuned now for the closing announcement. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website, www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when, once more, we let the Bible speak.